And the Christians today that play with the world, the Christians today that think that there's merit in all of that, that they can dabble a little bit in all of that. I just want you to know that none of that reflects the character of God in whose image you have been made.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, March 30th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The World or God? And our text comes to us from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, good morning. When I was a child, I remember going to church, and that would be my grandfather's church back in Mar del Plata, Argentina. And in true tradition, Anglican tradition or Church of England tradition, it was a one-hour service. It began exactly in 1 hour, and it ended exactly in 1 hour. Never moved. And he was able to put everything in there. And we did the Lord's Prayer, pray for needs. But what really threw everything off, that he never was thrown off, is that he used to say to me, and he said this to people, if you cannot preach in 20 minutes, you cannot say everything you need to say in 20 minutes, then you can't say it. So I am doing my best to give you 25 minutes, 30 minutes. 35 minutes. So when we first came to this church and other churches as well, in those days, preaching lasted at least an hour, hour and 20 minutes. And we had to put out, and people just loved it. As time has gone by, the span of attention has grown quite shrunk. So I suppose I can tell you Grandpa was right. So last week, my message was shorter than usual, and I was told by someone in our congregation who I appreciate and love very much, he says, good, I'm glad it was short. So here goes my short message. Let's see, I don't think I can do it in 20 minutes, but I think maybe 25, and let's see if we can be out of here by 12:10. Huh? How is that? Okay, you're going to time me now? You're going to put your... it's as the Lord leads, and some messages require more time and more elaboration, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but I'm going to try to do that for you so that way you can have a greater time of fellowship, because we grow around the Word, but we also minister to one another when we speak and we talk. And so today's text is 1 John chapter 2. I've been amazed by reading John several times this last week, and it's a great text. Every text is great. But this text that we're reading in chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 of 1 John, it's a very special text. And before we read it, let me just give you the setting. And the setting is that at the time that John is writing these epistles, persecution had ceased. And we're now going into the second and possibly the beginning of a third generation of Christians. And in those days, they felt like you could just live with the world without a problem. And there was a mingling of Christian virtues and culture, worldly cultures. And so John is now speaking about the importance of living for Christ in a world that continues to be depraved, and a world that continues to be faulty, and a world that continues to be enemy of God. And we're living in a condition like that, and it's important for us to know that we have freedom to choose. And John tells us to choose the Lord over the world. So it's not a time of persecution for the early church. We have now outgrown that, but here we go. We give room to the enemy, we give room to the world, and we fall into disgrace, and we dishonor the image that God has sculpted in our hearts. We're new creatures that we need to reflect the glory of God. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It says this way, do not love the world. Do I say it again? Do not love the world, or just to make sure, or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And 17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. I have a different version of it, and it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and this is the famous quotation that many people go to, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. May God bless the reading of his word. So the truth of the matter is that you and I live between two worlds. And there's always tension between the spiritual and the material. And we live in a battleground. Back in those days, the Persian time, the belief was that there was light and darkness that competed against one another. And in those days, they thought you need to choose, do you stand with light and surrender to shadows, or do you embrace the kingdom of God and settle for the vanity of a world that is passing away? There was always this type of competition, this type of pressure between one and the other. But as you go to the scripture, you find that anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. It's a declarative statement. Now, this does not mean that God hates creation. It has nothing to do with that. Because God made the world and called it good, absolutely. And when you read Jesus in the Gospels, you see that he loved the lilies of the field and spoke through parables that had to do with nature. The world here means the system, the world system, the rejection of the world system apart from God. The word cosmos, as it comes in the Greek, does not refer to the earth, physical earth, but to human society that has been organized around false desires, and a world organized with distorted values, selfish ambitions. I was wondering whether I should talk to you about what the false desires are and what the distorted values of this day and selfish ambition, but I do believe that you have enough understanding of distorted values that I don't need to elaborate. This world has gone crazy, and anything goes. Our children in schools are being subjected to ridiculous values, distorted values, problematic, false desires as to what really constitutes life, and always a heart that is selfish. It's for me, it's for me, it's for me. One of the things that I get very concerned, and I probably will be judged by what I'm going to say, but I don't care. You can take a poke at it. I get very concerned with today and how certain generations are so into themselves. They don't communicate with anybody. As a matter of fact, this is something that's going on, very prevalent. I was talking with Wilma the other day, and I said, you know, if I want to talk to my grandma, my granddaughter, I should go ahead and get into my WhatsApp or my Facebook and send her a message, and we're across from each other, you know. There's this sense of me. And I am not criticizing, but I am criticizing. The fact is that you and I need to understand the importance of communicating with human beings and not through a robot, not through a... that's why I'm in trouble now. It's okay, fine. But it's true, it's true, it's true. There's a system that has been placed on us that causes us not to come to church, but see everything through Facebook, because it's more convenient to be sitting there. And I apologize. I don't see you, but I know you're in your pajamas. Now, making the effort to come to church. Because see, when you do that, you know what happens? You're formed. It's formation. Is the whole idea of getting up and coming that forms you, that produces who you are, that it makes you into the person you should be. So coming to church is a mandate from the Word of God. It says don't stop congregating. Some people do that. That's a bad idea. You need to come to church. You know, the idea of getting up in the morning and getting dressed and getting in the car and putting up with this and putting up, it forms you. It transforms you. We discuss this in school all the time with Dr. Darino. Some of our students, when we went to school, we had to go to the library. You know, some of you don't even know what that is. But anyway, library, you know, where there are books, lots of them. And we had to go to the card catalog to look for the books that we needed. And then we had to hunt for them. And then we have to pull them and put them in on top of a chair, excuse me, a table, sit in the chair and go through them. And we couldn't take them home because you couldn't take those ones home. And, you know, and it took hours. And then we had to, then we would go and that book wasn't there, it was in another library. So we had to do whatever we could with what we had. And then we had to run to the other library and spend hours and hours. Today, someone says, you're going to write a book, they put two buttons and artificial intelligence gives them everything they want. But they're deformed. They're deformed. Because they cannot answer the basic questions. So we have a trick, of course, in school. And when they present a paper, and I know AI has been there because we got programs that can detect when artificial intelligence has been there. I just simply go to the bibliography, and I say this for everybody. I'm going to ask you to defend each one of the people that you quoted in your paper and tell me how they have contributed to your thought process. And that's it. They die. They're not being formed. You don't come to church on Sunday mornings because it's more comfortable for you to stay home. You're being deformed. The values of the world have trapped you. Well, so one more thing quickly. And many believers profess Christ, you know, but there's no visible difference between their lifestyle and the values of the world. We become a consumer church. People come to me and said, what services do you offer? I said, I'm not a grocery store. I'm not a 7-Eleven. I said, we serve whatever services we have are the ones that you're willing to provide. And they look at me stunned. So may I quickly say, what do you love the most? And I know it's preaching to the choir, but that's okay. I'm looking at my time. I think if you tell me, if you can tell me how you invest your time, where is your energy? What is your affection? Could you really say God with your lips, but world with your life? So then John, nice guy, John. Don't you like John? I love John. He says very clearly, he says there are three marks of the world. And he says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And quickly, may I just say that when it talks about the lust of the flesh, it's not just referring to sexual sin. Today, we live in a sexual culture. Good grief, driven. I mean, no matter what television program you watch, you're going to see them. They take away the wonder, the beautiful, wonderful expression of sex. They cheapen it. They're horrible. But it's more than just sexual ambition or sexual sin. It includes ambition, addiction to comfort, disregarding the needs of others, because that is what is the lust of the flesh. When pleasure becomes more important than justice, what is right? or compassion. That's so true today. But then, as you can see, I'm going real fast. Aren't you thankful? The lust of the eyes. What do you see with your eyes all the time? Consumerism, maybe. Materialism. The desire to possess. And I want that. But my question to you is, where are your eyes fixed? Maybe in a better way to do it, to ask you the question is, what determines your joy? Appearance or substance? I have to have this. Why? I have to have it. Craving for things you don't have. Craving for things that you see that, for whatever reasons, God has bestowed you not to be a part of that. You want to break the rule and you want to have it anyway. El silencio de esta mañana me trae causa de pensar que estoy diciendo lo que tengo que decir. Then the pride of life. The word pride of life in the Greek refers to pretentious self-importance. Oops. When you brag about the money you don't have, or you talk about the influence you'll never carry in your life, and you talk about the success that you haven't earned. And in the life stage, everything is performance, nothing rooted in truth. John paints an awful picture of enslaved appetites, obsessed with appearances, puffed up with false egos. And the Christians today that play with the world, the Christians today that think that there's merit in all of that, that they can dabble a little bit in all of that. I just want you to know that none of that reflects the character of God in whose image you have been made. You and I have the purpose, the promise, the opportunity to reflect the glory of God wherever we go. And one of these days, you and I are going to be on the other side of this world, and we're going to be in a place where we will reign with God forever and ever, and our job will be to reflect the glory of God to creation. And we'll be managing creation in this world. It's a wonderful future that's coming up. You and I were made in the image of God to reflect his image, his power, his love, his care. And because of sin, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life try to invade you, to take away the brilliance and the brightness of God's work in your life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There needs to be a freshness about your life. There needs to be a desire in your life not to reflect the values of the world, but to grow up and say, I'm a child of God, and I am not going to entertain selfish ambition in my life. I'm not going to be looking for addiction to being just comfortable. I'm not going to disregard the needs of others. I'm not going to have that craving to have everything I see. I am asking God to help me not to be materialistically minded. The desire to possess things that I really don't need. I need to ask the Lord to help me that my eyes will be fixed on him. That's what Job said. My eyes are fixed on God. I take care of where I look and what I see, because how what I see is what I want, and sometimes what I see is not what I need or want in the sense of doing God's purposes in life. Your self-importance sometimes is overwhelming, and we brag about wealth we don't have, and we want influence that we will never have in life, and we don't have the success that we want, but the pride of life is there, and we're trying everything we can to prove something that we know we are not. And we then sacrifice God's direction and pleasure in our lives. So John says, what does last in your life? What is lasting? And that's verse 17. The world and its desires, we've just mentioned them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world and its desire passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So what seems permanent fades away. It really does. Wealth can go away. Fame is gone. Comfort, whew. And the applause that we keep crave and want, it's all temporary. It all goes away. It doesn't last. What we think is permanent and lasting and important fades away. The only thing that stays is when you and I do God's will, because God's will is eternal. So what is God's will in your life and my life? Well, to love God. That's a good start, loving God. Do you know that if you love God, you spend time with Him? You do. But not only do you spend time with Him in prayer and reading the Word, and some of you do some fasting, and some of you just take time in solitude and just mind God. You're conscious of Him, praying earnestly every day. You have Him in your mind. But not only do you love God, you get to obey Him when He directs you. When He speaks to your heart, you respond to it. He speaks to you on the very basic issues of life. He's interested in everything you do. The God we love and the God we serve is not just an emergency God. He is a God who seeks relationship. Again, the Scripture says that we're to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowledge means intimate relationship, where you have a conversation with Him. When there's this relationship that He is there all the time for you. So you love Him and you obey His commandments. And here is a key. You reflect His glory, His image, in everything that you do. And I think it's so important that, because to reflect His image is only to invest in that that will never ever perish. For you to make a commitment that wherever you go, people will say, there's the Lord. Where you walk into a room and they know that you are different from the rest, because there's the Lord in your life, shining. It was an old hymn that said, I can see in you the glory of the Lord. I can see in your eyes the glory of the Lord. And there's this type of strength that comes to you, this presence of God in your life that sometimes you don't even know it's there, but it's there. And it's tangible because you've been in the Mount of Transfiguration. You've been with the Lord. You spend time with Him. And wherever you go into the valley of difficulty, there you are with the Lord's presence in your life. And it's something that will never perish. So, with my 10 more minutes, what are you building your life on? How is your Christianity developing? How are you applying the Lord in your life? How are you building it? Are you doing God's will? Are you pursuing God's will? Do you want God's will? So, God's will is eternal. What is that will? To love Him. To honor God in your life. To make Him a priority. To obey Him in those directives that He gives to you. Very simple. He will never ask you to do something that He will not help you fulfill or do. Do you reflect His image wherever you go? Or do you have several images of yourself? You have one image here. We look at you and we say, you're beautiful Christians. But what happens tomorrow, Monday, when you have a grouchy boss? Are you willing to invest in what will never perish, doing the will of God? So how are you building your life? And are you pursuing things that will vanish, like mist? Or are you anchoring yourself in God's purposes for your life and the purposes of God for this world? A great theologian wrote one time, there can be no vacuum in the soul. It means that something or someone always sits on the throne of your heart. Your throne today is not empty. Someone's sitting in the throne of your life. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either the Lord is in your throne of your heart or not. And you have to ask yourself that question. Because sometimes it's almost like musical chairs. You had to know what that is, but that's okay. The world offers you a lot of flashy things. Promises that will go away. And yeah, it comes to you. All of a sudden, the lust of the flesh. Oh my goodness, look what the world is offering. Yeah. Oh, the lust of the eyes. Ah, the pride of life. Ah, and it sits there in your heart. Jesus said, you can't do duplicity. You cannot have two. You can only serve one. So God offers you and me what we call a narrow road that leads to life. And some of us want to take the wide road and the narrow road. The wide road and the narrow way. The right, what day is it? Oh, okay. So my final concern to you is this. There's a choice to be made as Christians. As Christians. As Christians. As those who believe in Jesus Christ. Do you love the world? Or do you love the Father? To which degree do you love the world? And to which degree do you love the Father? So if you follow passing desires, or do you live for what is eternal? Are you cognizant? Are you thinking through when you do whatever you do? Is this God's will in my life? And the small things, brothers and sisters, because life is made up of small little things. How is life made up of? Well, let's say a year. A year is made up of months, yeah, but it's made up of days, yeah. But, well, month, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds. It all matters. It all builds up. So when you ask the Lord to help you, you need to live a life for what is eternal and not something that passes. And again, I'm saying this again, there is no neutral ground here. And there is no compromise between light and darkness. They cannot be together. They can. So let me pray with you. Lord, save us from a comfortable faith. Lord, save us from a Christianity of faith that's shaped more by the culture than by the cross. Lord, teach us to love what you love and to walk as children of light in a generation that still searches for meaning in the shadows. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange. Yeah.
many will make a commitment to turn your eyes on the Lord, huh? Just make Him first. Make Him first. How many need to repent from not... keep it. Be careful, because the world sucks you in. It really does suck you in. You are children of light. You belong to God. Be careful. Be wise. Be sharp. Be attentive to the voice of God. Seek Him while He may yet be found. Call on Him while He will still hear you. Say, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to love you. Lord, show me your will, and you and I will last forever. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
That's it. You want me to go longer? Oh, you like the small one, huh? Oh, you those people here too much. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. I can make it long. I can have you sit down and start all over again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed for the glory of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.